Last November, Coloradans voted to legalize sports betting by passing Proposition DD.
Under the new law, sports betting will begin in May, and Coloradans over 21 will have the option of betting on mobile apps or at casinos. The state is currently in the process of approving the first group of applicants applying for sports betting licenses after making rules for sports betting licensure.
Dan Hartman, director of the Colorado Division of Gaming, joined us to explain what work is left to be done. He told us about how many applications have been submitted so far for sports betting licenses.
We've had 19 applications for internet sports betting operators. This is as of Friday. We've had 10 operator licenses. Now that's to run the brick and mortar sports books up in the mountain towns of Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek. The master license, which is the casino license that has to be there in order to have sports betting, all 33 of the casinos in Colorado have applied for that master license. Whether they're going to use them right now or not, they've all come in and done that. So we have 33 of those.
Is there a limit on how many places will get licenses in Colorado?
The limit is set by how many casinos licenses we have, how many retail casino licenses there are, and there are 33.
Okay.
So 33 would be, at least at this point right now, would be kind of the imposed limit because of how many licenses we have.
Mm-hmm.
If another casino were to open or something like that down the road, certainly they could get a master license and they could look into sports betting.
What still needs to be done before May 1st?
We have a lot to do. I think that obviously the finalization of the regulations and rules that will govern how people do it and how people operate. Those companies operate in the system. We have other folks coming online and in our current staffing that will be looking at those computerized systems, making sure that they've gone through laboratory testing, that we know that they're safe, they're secure, going into the data centers, making sure that they are as safe and secure as probably any computer system in the world. They're taking bets, they're taking money, they're doing all of those things. So those kinds of things have to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
The layout in the brick and mortar places will be inspected. Just everything that how they operate, their internal controls, all those things as they come up, really is all the technical pieces. You're only allowed to bet in Colorado, so there'll be geolocation of people within Colorado before, you know, making sure that their geolocation works. So if they're inside Colorado, they can make a bet. If they step outside, they can't.
Dan Hartman is the director of the Colorado Division of Gaming. Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Under Proposition DD, the state will tax 10% of casinos' revenue from sports betting, and the money generated will go toward the administrative costs of the new system, gambling addiction resources, and the state's water plan.
But estimates of how much money sports betting will actually generate for the state are now much lower than the numbers we saw before the election in November. Here with more on the revenue projections and what the money will mean for the water plan is KUNC's Luke Runyon. Hey, Luke.
Hi there.
Under this law, sports betting would be taxed, and that money would go towards the Colorado Water Plan. Can you just remind us what the plan is?
Sure. So the water plan was finalized in 2015, and it was the result of this massive statewide effort to put down on paper a vision for the state when it comes to water. This was the first time that the state did something like this, and it set a few goals for the state of Colorado. So it made thresholds for water conservation in cities and in certain kinds of industries. It also set a goal for the amount of water that was held in new reservoirs, new storage projects, and it tasked local groups with coming up with stream management plans for the vast majority of the state's waterways, large and small.
So what does this plan really mean for the Northern Front Range?
It's hard to pinpoint one example of how the plan is shaping things right now, because it's mostly focused on these more individualized projects that fit within the water plan's goals. But you are seeing some elements of the plan that are coming to fruition. So one of the things that you're seeing is more of these alternative transfer methods. It's a horrible name, but what they're essentially designed to do is to allow more flexibility in water law so that farmers who hold the vast majority of water rights in the state can lease or trade a portion of their water to a city or another major water user for a temporary period of time when they really need it. And then this is sort of a less direct link, but you also have these big reservoir projects in the Northern Front Range, the expansion of Gross Reservoir outside Boulder, the Northern Integrated Supply Project near Fort Collins, Chimney Hollow Reservoir outside of Loveland. Those projects were all in the works well before the water plan came together, but it also gave water managers some cover to continue to push for those projects.
When we last spoke to you about this, which I believe was the day after the election, you had mentioned there were estimates talking anywhere from $6 to $15 million for the water plan in the first few years. Are we still seeing those estimates?
Not quite exactly. So the state's gaming division put out an estimate for the first year of sports gambling, which officially becomes legal in May of this year. And it's only projected to bring in $1.5 to $1.7 million in the 2021 fiscal year, which starts on July 1st. And that doesn't take a math whiz to realize that 1.7 is way less than 15 million, and it's lower for a few reasons. Sports gambling licenses are slowly being rolled out ahead of the May start date. It's likely that there will be a limited number of places licensed for sports gambling during that first fiscal year. But with those low estimates, it could be that no money from sports gambling is going to go towards the water plan during this first year. Because of those revenues being so low, some of it is set aside to cover administrative costs and to fund gambling addiction services before those funds get diverted to the water plan.
How much money does the water plan actually need?
The water plan called for $40 billion in water spending through 2050. And even proponents of the sports gambling measure were careful to say that this was a down payment on the state's water needs, not a silver bullet, but it's going to be well below that $40 billion level.
Where are they going to get that difference from?
That's not really clear right now. Last week, I was at the Colorado Water Congress. It's a meetup of the state's top water leaders, and this idea came up. I popped in one session on how to fund this one program on the Colorado River called demand management. It would basically pay water users not to take their whole share. And that program alone is going to cost millions of dollars, most likely. And people were throwing around ideas like a new statewide tax or new fees on big water users or on hydropower users. So there really is no clear way to make up this deficit right now.
One last thing while we have you, I want to talk about some big news about the Northern Integrated Supply Project, which you mentioned, NISP. It's a controversial reservoir project in northern Colorado. What happened?
The state's Water Quality Division issued a permit for the project, which was one of the last state permits that the project needed to move forward. There's been a lot of concern about what NISP is going to do to the health of the Poudre River, which is where it will draw from. And this permit is basically the state saying, we think this project has a good enough plan in place for water quality, so we're giving it a green light to go ahead.
What's next for it?
Still needs a few final federal permits. And with these big projects, you can almost always guarantee that there's going to be litigation. So count on a few more years of permitting and court battles before a shovel ever hits the ground.
KUNC's Luke Runyon covers the Colorado River Basin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.